It's Nick Jessenducker. Welcome to the podcast. And I think I have, if radio fails for us guys, I've got our new career sorted.
All of us?
Yeah, well, Jess, you're going to be probably better than any of us at this. but a woman makes $4,000 a month, yeah. 4K a month, by selling videos of herself farting.
I would be so good at this.
You would be, what? I mean, all the carby food she has, the carbonaras, the pastas. Wait, she lets them go, the farty farts. We've talked about this.
Mate, oh my God, I quit now. Can I put this as my official resignation? $4,000 a month, delicious.
Or, yeah, she used to be a travel agent. Then, of course, the COVID sort of hit her. And now she's a flatulence, she does flatulence camming. That's what she calls it.
So how do you work out you can make money from this? Do you know what I mean? Like, we all know there's the foot fetish thing. We all know that OnlyFans is a thing. How do you work out that someone will pay you for this without just putting it online and hoping for the best?
Yeah, I don't know.
She would have had to build to this point.
100%.
How are you going, babe? How's your side hustle going? Not too bad. I'll be out in a sec.
Well, exactly. She did have to build to that point because she says she's had to specifically design a diet to help her perform. She eats a lot of asparagus.
Asparagus?
Well, she said asparagus, avocados, lots of Mexican
avocados.
Food. And then a big one she loves together is coleslaw and baked beans mixed together.
See, I feel like that's another interesting component of this. What works for you might not work for everyone.
Yeah.
Exactly. I personally, coleslaw, can eat gallons of the stuff.
Yeah.
And I do. Very mayonnaise-y.
So is it a unique thing, as you said, where your bowels react with certain foods in a way that makes you gassy?
Is it almost like, not an allergy, but yeah, just how your body breaks it down, some vegetables or foods or cheeses or whatever, make you more prone to a pop-off?
Maybe. Like, I know I have a lot of protein powders and stuff, and they make you go. Jeez,
really? Do you know what does it for me? Yeah. Soy sauce.
Really?
Oh, really?
I eat a lot of dumplings and Angus.
Could be the dumplings.
Really? No, it's not the dumplings. Dumplings are sacred. He always is like, because I only eat dumplings when he's not at home because he doesn't really like dumplings. So if he's going out for dinner with the boys, I'm like, yes, dumplings for Jessica. But then he knows what I've had for dinner because of the subsequent reaction.
Because you're letting it out and you're filming yourself doing it. He's like, what are you doing? Nothing. I'm doing
nothing.
And
he's got the most sensitive nose of any human, like, or any beagle I've ever met in my life. Like, I can't tell something's happened and he can.
He knows. Well, she says
he
that,
knows, literally.
This woman is a mother and a wife. The husband knows, but he's not into farts, apparently. It's a fetish thing. But none of the kids know. She says she's a grown woman, though, so...
She can do whatever the hell she wants, but I appreciate she doesn't want the children going into school. What does daddy do? Well, daddy is a tradesman. He builds walls made out of bricks. And what does mummy do? Mummy farts into a camera. I appreciate you don't want Miss Hitchens in your grade 3 class knowing that about you. Next time you go for a parent-teacher interview.
Yeah.
So these videos, what's the angle? Like...
You don't see her booty at all. It's her face staring, like, literally sexy at the camera, seductively, looking straight down the lens.
Just the sound.
And then she just farts, and then she doesn't even make a sound, like a facial expression when she lets it go.
Oh,
she just stares at the camera.
Why would anyone want that? That's so easily fakeable.
Yeah.
It's just Gilly on the buttons and me staring at a camera.
Yeah, pull behind the curtain here, guys. I'm just playing these fart sound effects. We're not actually farting in the studio.
Extra mic positioned at Ducko's ass, capturing the pop-offs.
Hey, don't you put me. This is your territory. This is where
Do you even fart with your diet, your clean AF diet? Do you even fart?
Yeah, a lot. And they smell really bad because when your diet's actually really healthy and you eat, like, protein and lots of chicken stuff, like, you get protein farts. And they're
really?
Gross.
Yeah, they're quite.
Do you get a little puff of protein powder coming out?
And then what I do is I fart and I'm trying to catch it back in. I'm like,
that's 90% whey protein.
What sets you off, Gilly? You've been quiet.
I can't think of anything specifically that would make me bad the next day. I'm not saying I'm immune to the fart.
Yes, but nothing
but
that you
I
go
can't
lentils,
think of any...
strap in. Yeah.
Exactly. I'm not pretending to be a non-farter here, guys, but don't know a meal that does it. But maybe, like, if things open up with COVID again and, you know, the company can make a bit more money, maybe we can get those mics.
Just butt-sensitive.
Yeah.
You know how we have the cameras in the studio that only turn on when your microphone is activated, so it doesn't film everyone all the time.
Yeah.
It basically just gets individual shots when you're talking, makes it the editing much easier.
Yeah.
Can we get a mic that can preempt a fart and thus turn on and capture it in the moment the same way?
All right. So we have maybe just little monitors on our stomach muscles.
Yes.
Because they'll tense just beforehand.
Yes.
If they tense up.
Yes.
then the mic goes on.
Yes. Also, maybe we can invent some software that we enter our dinners in, and so it's prepared for 6 a.m. the next morning. That Brilliant. You know,
we could make a lot of money, guys, if we could make $4,000 each a day doing this. Pull it together.
Oh,
12K.
Absolutely. Because there'd be some niche things about group activities. And, you know,
if we could,
synchronize. Enter the fart orgy world.
Do we have to have that last word on there?
Yes, because it's a group activity. What word would you like use?
Well,
group.
I'm having just have a fart orgy with us, Gil. Come on.
Yeah, come on.
It's not that hard.
Live a little.
You bring the robes, Ducker will bring the protein powder, and I'll... Yep.
You bring the dumplings and
I'll
soy sauce.
I'll bring the dumplings and soy sauce.
Yeah, yeah. And what happened when you left it up to your partner? And they just let you down,
and
you know what I mean?
It didn't turn out well is what we want.
Yes, exactly. There was a lady overseas who let her partner, Brent is his name, and I already love that, paints a picture. Brent, shout out to all the Brents out there who are listening.
Who's looking at a newborn baby and going, yep, Brent, he looks like a Brent.
That'll do, yeah, Brent.
That'll do. God, we haven't thought about this.
That's how you name your kids, isn't it?
That'll do.
So basically, this lovely lady left Brent in charge of their son's 6th birthday party. Brent did plenty of things wrong, including the fact that he wrote the letterhead of the birthday party invitations from his office job. So it had his office company on top of the letterhead, and he sent it out to everyone.
To be fair, that would have the easy RSVP details. You just email him at whatever
email
office.
His GM. Yeah.
He then put it in his work envelopes and sent it out to everyone. So everyone's getting invites in the mail, thinking it's something from this company.
Yeah, thinking it's an electricity bill or something.
Yeah. Let's hope he's not a tax collector, a debt collector. Brent picked a public park and told everyone that if it rained, the contingency plan would be a nearby pub-covered beer garden for a 6th birthday party.
Very good.
He brought a maxi pack of sausages from the supermarket, just a big 30-pack that you get.
Oh, yeah.
Sliced white tip-top bread, I presume, tomato sauce on plain square. He had plain square chocolate cake from the bakery section and a candle in the shape of the 6th just sitting in the chocolate cake.
You
so essentially,
can't do that these days. Isn't it all like health food and, you know, granola bars for the children these days?
Probably had
and
a bowl of peanuts, this monster.
He's cooking the snags on the barbie in the park as well, on that homeless barbie that, you know, everyone knows homeless people
wee on. Yeah, I'm sure that's been wiped down. Yep.
So he did a bunch of things wrong, old Brent. He didn't have any vegetarian options, no gluten-free options, no healthy fruit options, as you said earlier, Jess. Yep. All he had was the snags, the white bread, the tomato sauce, and the backup plans, if it rained, was going to a pub.
I love that. Does it say anything about, and I get about the division of labour in relationship, whether it be physical or emotional. So obviously the wife's gone, I've done 1 to 5 birthday parties, you're going to do 6. She was just at the end of her tether and didn't check in the whole way, so it was rocked up to the park. Like,
she did start off the article by saying he does a lot around the house.
Okay.
However, it was his turn to do the birthday party, so I'm presuming, yes, she's done it all. He's gone, you know what, just calm down. I'll do it.
It's not that hard.
Georgette, my wife has left me to dress the twins for a dress-up day, and it was...
What's dress-up? What was the theme?
Well, it was supposed to be like an international culture day, right?
Okay.
And so, look, I'll be honest, I forgot until a few hours beforehand. So I went to Spotlight and I got some iron-on letters and I got them some white T-shirts and then ironed Kyrg on one of their shirts and then Istan on the other one. And so as a twin duo, they went as Kyrgyzstan, another country, which I thought...
white T-shirts with iron-on letters.
With iron-on letters. And they didn't even have a country each because I couldn't fit it. They were just together. They were Kyrgyzstan.
Wow.
Now, I saw the other children at their daycare center, and some parents, if I was to be brutally honest to myself, had put in a little more effort.
Okay, yep.
Yeah. All parents had done a much better job than I had, but, you know.
Who are they to show you up?
Exactly.
Come on. Yeah. A mate of mine shared a story. They were renting at the time, her and her partner, and the landlord had said, hey, we want to give the place a bit of a spruce up for you.
Yeah.
But you've got to live in it. So what colour would you like? And my friend Danielle went, you know what, babe? You pick. I got to go to work. I can't make another decision. You pick. she came home that afternoon. Every room in the house, bedroom, living room, bathroom, was a sunshine yellow. And he gave the rationale of, it's a happy colour.
I get that. I get that. As a male, you'd be like, yellow, what does she want? She probably likes yellow. It's colourful. It's bright. It's the bright. Kids will like it.
Yep,
great.
Yep.
Yeah.
Surely the person at Bunnings mixing was just like,
Are you sure? Want me? Like, even when you turn the lights off in a bedroom, if the walls are yellow, they glow. You know what I mean? Yeah. It's still too bright.
You're getting tanned in there just from the walls. Yeah.
Kylie's in the Hunter Valley. Good morning, Kylie.
Hi, guys. gosh, a couple of years ago, my car rego was due, and I asked hubby if he could pay for it because I was a bit busy. Mm-hmm. A couple of days later, I got pulled over by the police and fined $1,600 for being unregistered.
And when you came home that day and said, you need to pay this, what did he say?
He went and pulled it out of the filing cabinet where he'd written paid on it and filed it.
Okay.
I don't think that's how it works. Don't think you did.
Oh, man.
Oh, good try, Kylie's husband. Brilliant.
Yeah, the problem with marriage is you can't go, I'm so sorry, it's my mistake, I'll pay for it. It's just...
It's
out of your money. 100%. Yeah, it's all joint, yeah.
Patricia in Rutherford, what happened when you left it to your partner?
I asked, and well, we had a thing where who was home first cooked dinner. The night before, I put a can of fly spray on the back grill of your stove, the glass top, and he was cooking dinner. I had to run home and run a video back to Video Easy. It was just 30 years ago. Those days, you had to have it back by 6 o'clock. Yeah. And he was looking for the fly spray because I'm a big thing on mosquitoes. And he realised it was on the back of the stove after the stove had been cooking vegetables for 10, 20 minutes. The can was quite hot. Oh, better move that. It picked it up and it exploded.
Oh my gosh. Does he have a hand?
It went through our roof, put a hole in it, just missed the architrave, and deafened him. And my next door neighbour, she was about 65, she thought he had a shotgun. So she locked all the windows, and she was like a nana to us. And she thought he'd gone berserk in our street. So dinner was ruined, the video didn't go back, and he was deaf for a couple of days.
I appreciate
And those days, you used to buy the old mint fly spray, so our house stunk for hours and hours and hours.
At least it was mint.
Yeah, one of the more pleasant odours. I love that Patricia with the video didn't get sent back.
Yeah, yeah.
And he was dead. The fact that
dinner was ruined. It's like, what about the hole in the roof?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, but the $6.50 late fee that you can negotiate down to 50% off.
Oh my God, that is exactly what we're after, Patricia. Thank you for sharing. Tara's in Toronto. Good morning, Tara.
Morning.
What happened when you left it to your partner?
Well, it was actually my mother-in-law. When she had given birth to, my now husband, she left her husband the responsibility of registering the birth.
Mm-hmm.
And at the last minute, he decided to change the name that they had agreed on.
Oh, my God. So what was it and what did he change it to?
That's one way to get divorced.
Well, they are friends. They had agreed on Francis, which is hugely popular and stuff. But he decided to change it to Nicholas, which I do appreciate.
Oh, great call. I was against it at first, but all of a sudden, that's a brand change.
You're not calling your kid Francis. Come on, Nicholas is way better.
Oh, my.
Yeah. It is something, though, that you would consult, maybe.
Yeah, oh, maybe. Just maybe. Whilst we did just say that we no longer want to have Bryce, the very controversial, very upsetting character, and I use that word incorrectly. He's not a character. He's a real-life guy on Married at First Sight. We don't want to have him on the radio show anymore. It doesn't mean I don't have a few thoughts I'd love to share with you boys about his behaviour last night on the program. Of course, Married at First Sight has been ticking along for a while now, and Bryce has really come out as this character. He describes himself as a straight shooter, and I'll say it like it is, but really he's just a shit stirrer, and he's caused a problem almost every episode.
Yeah, it's the social version of saying, I just want to play devil's advocate here to cover up that you're being a jerk.
Exactly. So the past two episodes, we've seen all our couples on a couples retreat. I have not really seen this happen in previous seasons.
No.
But we're on day 2. 2 of the couple's retreat yesterday, and they've forced everyone to gather around the outdoor fire pit thing and have a pizza party.
Yeah.
Because nothing brings people together like a pizza party.
Exactly.
Yep.
Everyone loves pizza.
Everyone loves pizza.
And everyone loves a party. And on this show, they all love each other as well.
Yes.
So.
Yeah, they don't take any opportunity that they're in amongst each other to just fight, which is exactly what happened. Bryce stood up in front of the group of people and basically wanted some acknowledgement about, you know, how he's been treated, and was playing a bit of the woe is me, the martyr, and started having a go at Beck and Jake, who are a couple that they are together. Beck is someone he has had problems with for a while. Mm. Now, you'll hear the audio. He starts having a go at Jake, turns his attention to Beck before making his way over to Beck to give her a physical apology.
Hey, I'll crown you the king of the experiment.
No, get the That's
what you are. You're the king of the experiment. And you are the queen. You know what? You're the queen.
Yuck! That's disgusting!
Bryce, how dare you do that, mate?
Hey, I apologised. I wanted to give her a kiss to say sorry.
So what he's done there, Becky's sitting down amongst one of the couches. He's come over to her, standing, obviously leaned down to try and kiss her on the cheek, and is very, very domineering stance, obviously standing over someone as it is. But then to lean down and plant one on her cheek, just atrocious. Like,
Agreed. Atrocious. But I don't even get it. Like, if a friend of mine was sitting on a couch with four of them and I wanted to go and say hello to them, it still feels weird to go off and give them a kiss on the cheek and lean over them on the couch amongst all their friends and kind of smush your faces in there.
You could hear the tone in his voice. Like, he's doing it just to ruffle everyone's feathers. Like, he's just doing it to piss everyone off.
Yeah, and it's one of those things. I see anything of unwanted physical touch as such a power controlling thing. Do you know what I mean? You take so much power away when you touch someone who doesn't want to be touched by you.
Yeah.
And I just felt like he was really exploiting that in that regard. Mm. One of my friends put it really eloquently on Instagram yesterday. She was commenting on the episode and she said, "We become what we normalize over time." So seeing these sort of behaviors constantly, it's on, what, 4 nights a week or something?
Yeah, yeah.
You know, night after night. What is it teaching us as a society? It's teaching us that this behavior gets you a spot on national television.
Yeah, well, that's true.
Do you know what I mean? And for all the headlines and all the commentary, thankfully, that is calling his behavior out, it's still happening and it's still being allowed to happen.
Yeah. What I liked about it was the reaction from everybody else immediately. It was so visceral and so immediate that hopefully everyone that was watching was just like, oh, that should not be normalised.
Absolutely, absolutely. I get it why ACMA, the sort of governing board for commercial television, has received so many complaints specifically about this couple. Do you know what I mean? It's about the show in general, but a lot of them are specifically about the behaviours we're seeing in these two.
We even spoke yesterday about one of the experts, Alessandra Rompola from overseas, who now wants to leave and not have anything to do with the show because she came on and didn't know what she was in for.
Absolutely.
Is that cooked. Yes. Like, it's ridiculous.
It is. And that just behaviour is just so disgusting. And you're absolutely right, Gilly. That's probably the best takeout. Everyone else in the experiment, they reacted so strongly that hopefully every viewer was like, yeah, that's so messed up.
Yeah.
Mm. Anyway, good to talk about Bryce on the show again, guys.
Yeah.
The gift that keeps on giving.
Guys, family friend of ours was telling a story about his 12-year-old daughter. She got on a chat room for a gaming site, and pretty much what you can do is you can play video games and at the same time you can have a headset on, and it's kind of separate to the gaming, but you're chatting about the game that you're playing.
Okay.
Because you can have a closed group in that chat with your friends or something. That's separate to the game.
Exactly. And he thought it was all safe and it was very much video games based, but his 12-year-old daughter, after just about 2 or 3 days of using this, started getting sent lewd images from overaged men.
Right. So was this chat room not specifically for children, or was it marketed for children?
Supposed to be marketed for children and for video games.
Right. Okay.
And this happened after 2 or 3 days.
Wow. And did she come running to her parents and say, what's going on? Or were they over her shoulder? Okay. Yeah.
No, she reported it, which is great. But I would say that in a lot of cases that kids wouldn't know what to do.
Absolutely.
No.
Feel like they'd done something wrong, maybe.
Exactly. And so as a parent, it made me start thinking about, my kids are only 3 at the moment and they're not on this sort of thing, but the world is getting more and more integrated with this sort of stuff. And we wanted to know, what is the best way if you're if you've got kids, maybe you're going to have kids in the future, how we can deal with this sort of stuff. And so we're going to somebody who knows a lot more than us, Susan McLean, a cyber safety advocate, a former Victoria police officer as well for 27 years from cybersafetysolutions.com.au. Susan, thanks so much for your time this morning.
That's my pleasure.
Now, first up, with this specific situation, how can you stop your kids from finding themselves in these dangerous situations while still living their lives?
Look, parenting in the digital space is getting harder and harder. By listening to your introduction, I'm guessing the chat room in question was Discord.
Yes.
Is that what? Yeah. So first of all, Discord is a 13 plus app. So their T's and C's state that no one under 13 can be on it. And it is well known as a haven for pedophiles.
Oh, wow. Wow.
Is there a list
it
that has
what it, for your 12-year-old?
Yeah, is there a list that has, you know, what of these apps is well known for pedophiles and things like that?
Yes, and the thing is, Discord did start life as a chat app for gamers. It is certainly not a kids chat app, never has been. But last year, it started to rocket in popularity with little kids using it for instant messaging and to chat. And of course, parents, being oblivious to the risks and dangers, allowed children to be on it. I've got article after article after article about kids being sent child abuse material, sexually explicit content through Discord. I took 15 reports of grooming on Discord personally last year. Parents need to understand that the internet is a very adult world. Read the T's and C's and don't put your children in a place of risk.
So, Susan, these platforms that are marketed for 13 and under, I'm sure you've seen the news. Facebook is reportedly working on a kids' version of Instagram. Currently, Instagram won't allow you to sign up if you put your age in as under 13, but this platform will be for under 13s. How do you look at these apps and their parameters around keeping children and only children on the app?
So, first of all, there is nothing that is 100% safe on the internet. Mm-hmm. It won't matter what it is. But if you look at a platform that has been built from the ground up for use of young people, it is going to be safer than putting your child in an adult platform and hoping for the best. Mm-hmm. An example is Messenger Kids. That's a Facebook product. It came out in Australia about March last year. And it allows children to have that instant messaging communication experience, but the account is controlled by a parent, linked to a parent's account, no in-app purchases, no ads, and a parent controls who their child talks to, who talks to their child, and can download a transcript of the whole conversation. Oh. So that's what we need to be looking at. People that have built platforms from the ground up with children in mind, will it be 100% safe? No, because nothing is 100% safe, but it's about finding the safest or the safer place for our children to be.
And how do you stop kids from, I guess, signing up and lying about their ages? Because it's all very good and well to have things in place where you've got to put in your birth date and things like that. What are some things that parents can put in place to try and help their kids be safe online?
So make sure that you talk early and talk often. So have conversations with your children about what they should be doing, where they should be going. It is exactly the same as in real life. We need to make sure that for under 13s, they can't have an iTunes account or a Google Play account. It has to be linked to a family. So if mum and dad are the holders of the account, well, then there's no way they should be on any of these platforms because the child has to ask the parents for permission to download it. The parents should be doing their due diligence, checking that the platform is dangerous, checking that they've got to be 13, and then talking to their child about why they're not going to help them to lie about their age to get something they're actually not allowed to have.
Must be hard for parents, though, because they'd probably know less about the internet and online than the kids these days because they're learning so quickly and it's advancing so much. Like, parents just always get left behind, don't they, Susan?
Well, you know, we've had the internet around for 20 years. Most people that are parents today grew up with the internet and with social media. So I think it's a cop-out for parents to go, oh, no, this is all too hard. Right. If you're going to put your child out on the internet, you need to be there with them. You need to know what they're doing and who they're doing it with.
Yeah, I mean, I see your point, Susan, but I'm 38. I certainly was late to kind of the internet party. My kids are three now. Maybe I had my children late, but I was not brought up with the internet, and certainly in my adult life I've used it quite a bit, but things are happening faster than I feel as though I can keep up with. Like, do you feel as though that's a cop-out? Like kids are learning as they always have. I remember programming the VCR for my parents, you know. I was just better at tech back in the day, whatever tech was available, than my parents.
But as I said, the internet's been around a long time, and, you know, every day somewhere in Australia there is articles about the dangers of the internet. So how, even if you're not particularly tech savvy, and even if you don't or didn't grow up using some of the apps, you know, a good amount of general knowledge or common sense would tell you that the internet's dangerous. As an adult, if your child says, "Look, I want to use this app," you know, it's not that difficult for you to do your due diligence and go, "Hang on a minute, darling. The T's and C's state you have to be 13. There's all these articles about the fact that there are some very unpleasant people on Discord. We're going to say no."
Yeah, I think that's good kind of cybersecurity advice. But as far as a parent goes, like you might not know that the app exists. And certainly my kids are only 3, but I don't know many 10-year-olds that are like, "Oh, yeah, I've read all the T's and C's."
Yeah.
No, but that's up to the parent. Like, parents are the gatekeepers to their child's online world, right? So they have to be able to step up, suss it out, sort it out, and advise and guide their child about where they should be going and what they should be doing. But Discord is so well known as a dangerous place. So it, to me, that beggars belief. You know, how hard is it to read the first few T's and C's? Because it will state very clearly how old you have to be. And if you can't manage that, Google it. How old does my child have to be to have a Discord account? Not hard.
All right. Well, Susan McLean is a cyber safety advocate, cybersafetysolutions.com.au. We really appreciate your time this morning.
No worries. Thank you, guys.
Oh, yeah. Let's make it happen. 30 seconds, 10 questions, all starting with the same letter. Have to take your first answer. You can't use the same one twice. And if you're unsure of a question, you can pass. We'll only come back if there's time. We had a very close call yesterday. 9 out of 10. So stepping up today from Maitland is Bree. Good morning, Bree.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
Excellent, Bree. We're feeling good. We're feeling confident ahead of a long weekend. You're in good spirits, I would imagine.
Very much so. Four-day weekend.
Oh, yeah. Let it rain. Any plans for the long weekend, Brie?
Probably housework, but that doesn't matter.
That might change if she wins 10K today.
Absolutely. Yeah. Put it all on red.
Okay, you know the rules, Brie. The letter today is the fifth letter of Maitland. L.
Very good. Is that a good omen, Bree?
Oh, jeez, isn't
you're
it?
You're vibing that?
We'll give it a go.
Good girl. All right. Your time will start after the first question. Here we go, starting with the letter L. We need you to name a drink.
Lemonade.
A star sign.
Libra.
A jungle animal.
Lion.
An exercise.
Line dancing.
A language.
Pass.
A disease.
Lyme disease.
A European city.
London.
A military rank.
Lieutenant.
A verb.
Long.
A real estate term.
Lease.
A language.
$80 is all yours. Well
awesome.
Done, Bree.
That's awesome.
Really
Thank
well
you.
Done. The only one you missed, language. We will give you line dancing for an exercise, I guess.
Yeah.
Get
Each
the heart
to
rate
their
up.
Own.
Yeah, yeah.
Language, Latin was what we were looking for. And a verb. What did you say for verb again?
I said long.
Long.
Long. Yeah, that's an adjective.
Well,
yeah.
What about
but
if
you
I
could long for somebody.
You.
Oh, so you really got 90. All right, we'll give you
$90.
Oh, bugger awesome.
That's the back-to-back nine. Yeah, bugger awesome. But how's the positivity in her voice, though?
Yeah.
Oh, a stellar run. Bree, you can come to my
God.
Italian tutor on a Thursday if you like. She also teaches Latin. Franca?
Sure. A notoriously easy language to learn, Bree.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, well.
Oh, well. Nine indeed. Will still be good, but you're still doing the housework this weekend. So,
yeah.
You know,
bugger awesome.
That's all right. That's 2 9s in a row. We play again tomorrow, of course.
It is S back. For spray tan booths, now included in the Planet Fitness Platinum membership.